Welcome to Manager Tools. How to master your response to your engagement survey, part 4. The questions this cast answers are, how do I respond to my engagement survey results? What can I do when my organization does an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? Answers to these questions and more in this cast. Keep listening. Are you looking for an easy, effective way to get the most out of your employees while retaining their loyalty and motivation? Look no further than our EMC. Our effective manager training will help your organization learn how to successfully manage using one-on-ones, feedback, and delegation. This 7.5-hour program is interactive and dynamic, allowing attendees ample opportunity to practice these useful tools that can directly benefit your organization and its success. The best part? You can have an EMC come right to your location, which saves you travel, since we will be hosting a one-day session for you on-site for up to 30 participants. Email us at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more. Now that we've set up the history for both Manager Tools history and the history of engagement itself, we're going to talk about the manager's experience with engagement. And before we go over the specific actions of what we'd recommend you do when you've got these employment survey scores or results that you're meant to do something with, we'd first like to give you a broad sense of the process you'll go through. We assume there's going to be people listening to this who have not yet had inflicted upon them an engagement survey, and that might happen to you. So if it does, we want you to know what to expect. So first, what's going to happen in terms of the process itself is you'll be notified that there's going to be an engagement survey. Now, they may send you on some training. They may train you. Somebody might come in from the consultancy to help you learn more about it. It's rare. I mean, how many times have we talked about the fact that management training is unusually rare? Probably won't necessarily have training itself, but you might have a video to watch, which is what we found to be more common in terms of managers or organizations learning about these engagement surveys. And at some point thereafter, the survey itself will be distributed to the employees within your organization. It's going to come in some form of a link to a page on the engagement industry firm's website.
Mm-hmm. And then once on the link, you and your team will have to answer a series of questions, maybe 12, 25, it could be 45, it could be more.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that, oh, we're all measuring the same thing. And all the surveys are different as they are.
Yeah.
Generally, firms that do surveys know that 25 to 30 questions are well tolerated. More is often not well taken.
Yeah.
And so somewhere in that realm wouldn't be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
There are rarely, very rarely, any chance for written answers because
this ain't a short answer test, guys.
Yeah, especially those, because those are not measurable, which is interesting, partially because, of course, engagement we would suggest isn't measurable. And okay, fine. And it's probably actually pretty good that there aren't written answer portions, because when the possibility of written answers arises, that's what managers will focus on and inevitably and stupidly try to determine which employee said what. So it makes it so that people go fact-finding or witch hunting. And since you tell employees, hey, it's anonymous, and then they write something and everybody knows who wrote it, which is dangerous.
Right.
And then whether they will realize that people know or not, they get punished in some cases.
And in the most ridiculous of ways, I've found, and we find this a lot with 360-degree reviews, but what will happen is you'll get those comments, you'll read them, you're like, oh, it's from Kate. Of course it would be from Kate. Kate's always had a thing against me. And then not only do we blame a person for having wrote it, but we disregard fully what we've just read. We're like, well, that doesn't even count, because that person's always had it out for me. Doesn't even count. So now it's not beneficial at all. It just gives you another reason to be mad at that person that you already had some sort of problem with. And No one learns anything from the lesson. So once everybody submits their survey, there's going to be a period where the data is gathered, analyzed, processed, and packaged for delivery to your organization. And this may take longer than you want. It's not going to be an immediate kind of turnaround. The data itself and the analysis is done immediately. That is, these are large firms conducting the survey. Your survey is connected to an analysis engine that can process all of the inputs virtually instantaneously. It's not a team of people that are going to go in there and manually interpret the results of your report. It's being done automagically. And the output documents themselves are standardized. So there's no real need for data scientists to review the work, look for errors, find outliers, remove things, etc. It doesn't need to take as long as it takes. But
the packaging takes time. Yeah, trying to make it beautiful and, you know, slap some...
Fancy. Shiny.
Yeah. It's fancy because they want to sell you more stuff.
Yeah. It's just another sales tactic.
Yeah, they want to sell your customer, your company as a customer to them, more services. So, hey, we could fix this for you, being the idea. Let us show you this and let us show you the way to solve it. Let us show you this and show you the way out. And let's be honest, too, they want to review the data.
Yeah.
They want to see what's going on. They've now collected what is essentially their own, to some extent, repository of data about corporate life, companies and organizations in whatever countries they're operating in.
Well, and about your corporate life, right?
Well, sure, but I think they can sell
more in a more targeted, more specific kind of way because they know where your pain points exist now. Everyone right. just told them.
They're trying to come back to you with solutions that could solve what they have categorized as problem areas. Also, too, they're not doing this that's a reason they're not doing it altruistically. They're also not doing this altruistically in the sense that data is really important. And so the fact that they're gathering this data and they're putting together this repository of information that includes your company and your firm's information, that's something that they can sell. It's to others, like third parties. It's something they can use to put together their own studies, their own stuff, like write a book, whatever. And so they want both to continue to engage with you to make money, but also use your data on the back end mm-hmm. to continue to make money. A word of caution, too. If you were to see the raw data, you might not suggest that the problems they categorize are the same problems that you think are an issue. Like
yeah.
you might find actually what they think is a problem, and it's going to be presented to you in a way that says, oh, hey, this is the problem, except maybe that's not what you would have taken from the data.
Yeah,
maybe you would have understood
it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so they review the data, they come back with solutions, and at some point, hopefully, senior people from your organization will meet with the survey provider and get a briefing on how engaged their people are with an overview of the data. And this is, of course, where that sales pitch about problem solving and what the data means will happen.
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of where the processes differ. Essentially, different companies will do this or these next steps differently. But at some point, your organization and you ultimately will receive your survey results. Now, some companies deliver every team's data to them simultaneously, or very nearly so. I mean, within the course of a couple of days. Some companies waterfall or cascade it down. And we would recommend the simultaneous approach, because it's individual managers who are going to be expected to take actions, whereas the cascade approach, give it to someone's manager's manager, to that individual's direct, to that individual's direct, and so on, is a situation where it allows the more senior execs and managers to know what the org looks like overall and dig through the reports before anyone and everyone gets the data. There's very little they can do with it other than be aware of it, so everyone having the data, the people that can actually use it, is more beneficial.
Yeah. And we'd love to say that this cascade approach is a good idea, because then senior managers and leaders would see patterns and then they could be helpful to other managers. But this is
honestly
very
rare. That's not what happens anyway.
Yeah, senior people see the data. They start reaching out to find out what happened regarding a manager's scores, which are low. And we are unaware, although this is probably an unfair characterization based on our public disdain for engagement, of any senior leader who has sat down with individual managers, all of them across the board, to provide insight, recommendations, or assisting with action planning, which would be the altruistic or best, the purest or the best practice form of this cascade approach being useful. And okay, sure, we understand maybe the reason people will cry foul is that it would take a lot of time to do it. And we're not trying to chide people for not having done this. And we're going to provide engagement leadership guidance to our licensees in our executive tools feed as well. We're not going to leave y'all hanging on this. And just know it would probably, based on the way it's previously been used, be better for everybody to get it all at once. However, that isn't to say that that's what will happen and that the other way that it's been used hasn't been historically less than ideal.
Yeah, problematic. Exactly. That's absolutely it. Now, beyond this, know that it's really unlikely you're going to get much help analyzing your data, either from the company that you work for or from the survey provider. And that's not an indictment of the engagement industry, to be fair. It's true of all company-wide surveys in our experience. So you're going to get these results. You're not going to get very much help analyzing or trying to understand what it says. And you will then be expected to take corrective action to address those areas where engagement or one of the survey provider's components of their engagement concepts are beneath some benchmark of some sort. And as you can imagine, sadly, there's going to be very little to no specific actionable guidance in the report or the data document which you receive on what you should actually do.
Which represents the Achilles heel and should be the lasting shame of the survey and response industry. By definition, the purpose of an engagement survey is to identify strengths and weaknesses and then to continue with the activities that show good results and make changes in the weak areas. And we've said it, there is little to no help in the documents on what managers can actually do. A gap between the testing, and we take umbrage with the testing. Mm-hmm. However, perhaps we should be more disheartened by the fact that even given the data, there's a gap between the data itself and implementation around continuing positives and discontinuing negatives. I don't know. I'm not sure which is worse, but it appears to be an entirely broken system, which only supports the people creating and administering the surveys and not the organizations which use them, right? Mm-hmm. Not the organizations within which they are taken. And therefore, wholly an industry built on personal and, I don't know, specific people getting benefit from other people who are saying, hey, we're struggling in some cases. And then the people getting the benefit aren't the people who are struggling.
Yeah.
It's presented so altruistically.
It is.
And yet there seems very little in the process to actually do what that survey is purporting to do. It feels like snake oil, or it feels very much like you're being sold something and you're being told that if you buy it, it will be good for you. And in fact, the person who benefits is not you. And actually, too, guess what? A lot of times individual managers are punished. Hey, tell me this story about yourself. Oh, you're in trouble.
Thank you for being so open and honest about it. It was great.
Right. Like, tell me the truth. You won't get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about this in a previous one, Kate, in that organizations who are happy, organizations that, I mean, everything's going well, everything's great, retention's awesome, results are amazing, everything's going great. Those aren't the kind of companies that are doing engagement surveys. They trust their employees are engaged. It's only organizations who are struggling due to some set of factors that are doing engagement surveys. So to then be a part of this machine, to have this engagement survey be done, only to have the result being, oh, hey, problems exist here. You already knew they were there, but also we know they're there now too. And then nothing be done to help individual managers fix the problem is a completely useless endeavor. Like, what is the point? We already knew there was a problem. We wouldn't have hired you if we didn't know there was a problem. And now you've just told us something we already know and have been given no guidance on how to fix it. Perfect. Perfect. Good use of time and money.
Mm-hmm. Good times. And this might happen to you. It really, really might, y'all. So we are going to help you with how to respond to an initial survey, because your first experience with engagement will most likely be when you hear from your boss or get an email from HR saying, everybody, including you and your team members, will be taking this engagement survey. Mm-hmm. It's possible, as you mentioned earlier, that there might be a video for you to watch or that you might get a briefing, and likely that the briefing you get will be from someone in your company who's not an expert. So you're not going to get a ton of advance understanding, helpfulness, useful information, ability to grasp what's going on.
Yeah. And it would be likely for anybody listening to this podcast right now, what are we, 4 episodes in now? This is number 4. It wouldn't be unusual for you to have gained the same disdain that Kate and I have for this entire process. However,
that's spreading.
Big old warning here. You're a manager. Be very careful about asking the kinds of questions of either the consulting company or of your organization itself. Be careful asking the kinds of questions that might come from listening to this guidance. We've given you multiple points of failure in the process. Don't expose those points of failure. It will not happen. It will not benefit you. It will not benefit your career or the team or the organization. If this has been told to you, it will be done. The decision's been made. Now, if you voice concerns about it, you'll be seen as an activist or a stick in the mud or a complainer, and it's not going to do you any good. These things are not cheap. They're very expensive to be done in an organization. And you've already got an email saying that you and your teams are going to take this survey. Your company has already purchased it. It's too late.
Too late.
It's too late. You were not consulted, and get over it, I guess is what I'm saying. Unfortunately.
Right. We're sorry. You're trapped. Once you get notified, accept your fate.
Accept your fate.
Let your team know to the best of your ability what's going to happen. Even if they got their own email, take some time to either talk to them or forward the email you got to them with your thoughts. Don't just do the weak kind of option. Don't go the lazy route and forward your email with your comment of just FYI.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, put some effort into it. Forward it with some effort. Often letting your team know what's going to happen to the best of your ability is pretty limited. But there are some things that you can do. So first, forward your email to all of your directs. If they have directs as well, tell them that they'll be expected to do the same. And don't encourage this behavior, by the way. Don't encourage them to do the same with their directs. Tell them that they will be expected to do the same. Forward this email with comments to their directs as well. And in this email, put your own comments at the top. Be aware that even if you violently agree with our take on engagement, you're now carrying the water for your firm. Your feelings about engagement and its efficacy are moot. You are obligated to be a leader and to help your firm get the most of the survey and its results. Don't try and be coy. Don't try and be sarcastic. Don't try and hint at your dislike for the survey itself. You represent the company, and it'd be disrespectful and unethical to be anything other than entirely supportive of this initiative.
Bear in mind, y'all, if you don't say anything about this to your directs, you propagate the idea of being disengaged. Like, this is a big deal. Everyone is talking about it. You not talking about it,
yeah,
means that there is a likelihood that when they go through the survey, they think to themselves, yeah, I don't feel engaged with my manager because they didn't even talk to me about the survey.
Yeah.
Just, you know, awareness.
How could I be engaged?
Yeah. How could I be engaged? They didn't even talk to me about this weird thing. So an example of what your comments could sound like. Folks, Inatech has engaged a firm to help us evaluate the level of engagement of all our employees. We're all going to take this survey and then be provided with detailed analysis of our team's responses. If you're a manager of managers, you're going to get your team's data as well as roll-ups of your subordinate manager's results. Once we get back the data, I'll be sitting down with my team and you will be sitting down with yours. I'll be providing guidance to my team on how we're going to address those areas where we can make a difference. And we're also going to highlight those areas where we're doing well and make sure we continue to do the things that support the areas where we have good results. We're not only looking for weaknesses, we also want to make sure that in addressing weaknesses, we don't mistakenly stop doing the things that support our strengths. The survey won't take too long, but our response will be ongoing, probably taking many months. My assumption is that we will be doing another survey like this in the future, so we'll get data back on how well our responses are working. I'll be adding engagement topics and ideas to my communications plan to keep you in the loop about what I'm doing and what I want you to be doing. One of the things I hope to do in those communications is share with you the actions some of us take when they work. I encourage all of you to share ideas with me and share what you're doing, what you're hearing, what you're saying, so we can spread ideas we think are working. And as always, my door and your boss's doors will be open for discussions about how we respond. We're not going to try to address everything. We're all plenty busy and we can't stop working on results and only address engagement topics. It's likely we will pick areas of focus and roll out efforts that we all implement. Please, in your responses, be candid. We want to get good data. If you feel good about a topic, say so. If not, say that as well. There will surely be some topics that we at our level can't address directly. Pay and benefits come swiftly to mind. But in those cases, we will carry your message to our leaders and find out what we can about the areas where only the company can respond. I look forward to working with you on improving our employee engagement.
Dude, that was good. Folks, that is a hell of a lot better than simply taking an email from this survey provider or from your organization with an FYI at the top. Put it into context. You're the manager, you're the leader for your organization. Now, lucky for those of you who are currently licensees, all of those words that Kate just said, you're not going to have to transcribe and listen to her in ultimate slow motion. So you can capture everything she said. If you're a licensee, go online, find the show notes for this cast. You can copy that. You can paste it and change it for your organization and put it at the top of that email for your directs. If you're a manager who's set to begin your implementation of the Trinity rollout, or a manager who's tried rolling out the Trinity multiple times to less than ideal effect, note we have a tool to support you in your implementation. It's called Roadmap. Roadmap is, well, a roadmap that helps you walk through the steps required to implement the tools of one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation with your team members. To gain access to Roadmap, become a Manager Tools personal licensee, which you can do by visiting manager-tools.com/products. That takes us now to the actionable part of the cast, how to actually attack your engagement scores or your engagement results.
This is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Although, we would love to be able to tell you that these surveys not only tell us what's wrong, but give specific actionable guidance on how to address weaknesses. But we can't because they don't.
We did see a result recently.
Right. We did see a survey output document for a specific manager, which we've reviewed in detail.
Yeah.
And it did have an action planning section.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one half of one PowerPoint slide in a document with over 80 slides.
Oof.
So, I mean, ouch.
Ouch.
Oh, that's it. That's the whole recommendation on how to address areas that might need improvement. One half of one slide in 80 slides. And okay, surely that's the whole point of the survey.
Yeah, that is the
individual
point
survey. We, as we've discussed, we don't agree that that is the point. We think the point is for other people to make money and get data on you, and that they're telling you the point is for you to solve your problems, when in fact, this will not solve your problem, or maybe it can solve your problem if it's just to highlight it. However, they're not going to help you solve your problem. They're just going to tell you you have a problem and then walk out with your money. Because we think that this is true because less than 1% of the document gives guidance on what to do to improve engagement. Surely, in the sales pitch that you're hearing, the idea is the whole point, which I would suggest then 80% of it needs to be improving engagement. Instead, less than 1% of the document.
It's barely actionable.
Well, there's that on top of it. It's like the smallest piece ever.
Exactly.
99% not about how to improve engagement.
Right.
And further, bad advice on how to do it.
Exactly. That's the thing. So it's barely actionable. It tells the manager recipient, one, review the data, two, discuss results and align on actions, three, document actions and check in regularly. It also does give one little actionable tidbit of information. It suggests that managers should conduct annual engagement one-on-ones to review progress. Boom.
I cannot.
Done. Go out into the world and make it more engaging.
I really like the particularly align on actions.
Mm-hmm.
Align with who? On what? So discuss the results. Okay. Then come up with a list of actions and talk to them about somebody else. But who? And do we document the actions by writing them down, or do we document the actions having been done, or do we track them somewhere? It's not clear.
My thing is, what is regularly?
This is annual engagement.
Is annually regularly to any human being? I don't know anybody who
thinks feel like Christmas is regular?
Yeah, that's the thing. Oh, on my regularly scheduled birthday? No, not a thing, yo. Guys, that's not regularly scheduled. It's rarely scheduled.
I mean, my regularly scheduled birthday is super fun. I love that. On my regularly scheduled birthday, I would like for people to understand what regularly means and not assume that it is annually. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Okay. But if we're being fair,
which we should be,
we try. There is more detailed guidance. In most cases, though, it boils down to talk to your people and agree on a plan. And I do struggle a little bit with this. I mean, I don't know, especially when they have the cascade thing and then they say, talk to your people. Am I supposed to talk to the people who feel disengaged, or the people who are engaged, or the people, both the people, or the people above me?
Figure it out, Kate. Figure it out. You're smart. Well, you got this.
Fine. I'll figure it out. But you have to do the part, because they sometimes say, hey, managers, ask employees why they feel the way that they do. So you get to go do that part. Because I think figuring it out would be easier than going down there and asking people why they feel disengaged and getting honest answers.
That's the thing. Okay. So small segue. If you guys are part of the Manager Tools community and you know of our Manager Tools feedback model, now this is not feedback, however, it's a form of input, you know that feedback, the why doesn't matter. Having these conversations never helps. Digging into it further is only problematic. And in this case, it's problematic because the report only shows averages for each question's responses. Either a manager would meet with their entire team or meet individually to go over the results, but you don't have individual scores. You've got an overall ranking of everybody.
Also, with your role power and a disengaged director, are they going to be honest with you? Just like putting that out there.
Why would they be?
Because, okay, so imagine going over the results with individuals. That's uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
because it comes really close to saying, hey, we promised this would be anonymous, yeah, and now, but now we're we'd like to
figure out if you're
focus
the one
on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really easy then, right, for one of your directs to avoid giving detailed input in a discussion for fear of being in trouble, for reprisal, for
yeah,
the lack. If we go back to the idea of trust, if a person is disengaged from their manager, there's probably not a lot of trust in that manager. They probably don't have the trust required in order to feel safe being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager obviously might not have enough trust in that person to believe what they say, to your point earlier, well, this person has it out for me, so I can disregard their stuff. And seriously, we still, like, again, this concern we have, which we've been talking about for years, usually when we talk about 360-degree reviews.
Yeah.
But we worry that people won't want to say the truth because they're afraid they'll get in trouble because the manager has role power over them and they could get in trouble. And not all managers are ethical. We hate to say that. However, it's not inaccurate. So,
right.
Okay, so going to individuals, we can see the pitfalls of that. I can imagine the pitfalls of, hey, I'm going to go talk to my manager or my individual contributors or just individual people on my team.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And
ask them, violate in, I mean, just
right, violate that anonymity we promised.
Yeah.
In the doing of a survey. Exactly.
And then why would they tell you the truth anyway? Because you right. said it was anonymous and then you went down there anyway. Why would they, like, why would they tell you? I wouldn't tell you. I would say, okay, clearly you can't be yeah. trusted because you promised me a thing that you are now violating. I'm not going to go putting myself in a position of weakness in front of a right. person who's who invalidated what they just said when I took this survey.
Exactly. And that's the individual, like comparing the individual or the individual meetings about the survey results themselves. The team meeting has similar weaknesses. That is,
sure.
those who might have been given a particular area, a positive score in a specific area, would have no input into the actions to be taken to improve the area. So those that gave a lower score could simply stay moot because, again, anonymity decays. Why would they make themselves known if they're the ones that give you a really crappy score on engagement? It's really easy to be quiet in a group conversation.
I really can't think of a reason unless that person is on their way out in a way that they know means there's no fear of reprisal for their comments.
Right.
And yeah, okay, that person is disengaged.
Yeah.
We know they are going to go. I don't know. Yeah, it's just, it's if you're in the team, the person who says this was great is probably not going to speak up. If you're in the team meeting, they're not going to speak up.
Right. Why would they?
People said it was bad. And then the other people, the people who said it was bad, aren't going to tell you because, hey, then everybody will know. And it's.
Yeah.
How? No. Oh, gosh. It's just.
In both cases, you're not getting honest feedback from the people on your team. You're not getting honest input in respect to areas to work on. And
yeah, it's an inherent problem.
Yeah, it's an inherent problem with looking for weaknesses or areas to work on in an anonymous survey. The likely sources of low scores would come from your weaker employees. Now, this sounds cynical. I know it does. I don't love it, but it's based on a somewhat unproven principle of engagement. Those who are engaged are better in their roles, and disengaged team members are less effective in theirs. And we have no doubt that this assumption is true insofar as engagement predicts results, but it means that we're now taking actions to address our least effective employees' concerns. Which reminds me of the coaching dilemma.
Sure.
Yeah. Why are we going to spend all this time to help our least engaged, least effective employees when our time is better spent with our more effective, more engaged employees?
I feel like we need like a sad sound effect button, like, like something to.
I like, yeah. I'm going to look for one on
buttons. We need buttons.
I agree. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for a completion of our topic on your response to your engagement survey.